I am unable at this point to wrap my understanding around no self. I feel truth in that form is not self, feeling is not self, perception, mental formations, and consciousness is not self. How can we be sure self is not hiding somewhere we haven't looked? Well, because they've been looking for over 2,500 years. So far, nothing's come up. How do I cultivate an understanding of non-self? Isn't that part of us that continually takes rebirth, self, a soul? Well, Buddhism is an extremely radical religion and philosophical teaching in that perspective of non-self just goes against the grain of just human experience and the even human religious experience because there is that very, very, very deep-rooted feeling of soul, of selfhood, that is somehow separate from everything else that we experience, and that there is that continuity there. But the Buddha, he was sitting with a group of monks, and he picked up a small chip of cow dung, which is fairly common in India, and said, "See how small and insignificant this piece of cow dung is?" And he said, "Yes." And he said, "If there were so much as a small, insignificant bit of being that was self, then this teaching and this holy life would not be conducive to full liberation." And he said, "But because that even something as small and insignificant as this piece of cow dung can't even be that much of a self anywhere, that there is a holy life that can be lived that leads to liberation." And it comes back to impermanence. Because the window of experience. One of the things, say, like not even in the teachings, like impermanence, the three characteristics of existence: impermanence, unsatisfactoriness, not self. Impermanence and unsatisfactoriness can be directly experienced. Non-self has to be approached through a kind of an extrapolation that because all this phenomena is impermanent, external, internal, coarse, refined, physical, mental, because it's all impermanent, then it can't be, nothing can be held as a self. So there's a certain extrapolation of logic that needs to be used. Or because all of our experience as, again, whether physical or mental or coarse or refined, in the end it's all unsatisfactory, it's all imperfect, it's not completely perfect or completely stable, and therefore it can't be held as a self. So there's a certain extension of logic that's needed. So it isn't as immediately experienceable, but it's a realization that one makes or understands as one looks at phenomena in these more holistic and complete ways. But that teaching of non-self is also, say, one of the reasons why Buddhism died out in India. Yeah. I mean, the, Buddha taught in a culture that the sort of Brahmin Hindu belief system and that sense of the Atman, the sense of self, is just so strong, and it was ended up being absorbed back into Indian, the sort of the Buddha's teachings ended up being absorbed back into the Indian culture that just couldn't get their mind around non-self. And there's also a social aspect in that was a condition as well, in the sense the Buddha never really accepted the caste system. That's something that to this day is still pretty firmly in place, even with the sort of the influence of Gandhi and the independence movement, and how much they had to rely on everybody pulling together. But you know, the caste system is still pretty embedded in the culture. So those two things, something. I mean, it isn't as if it's just difficult for us as, say, Westerners with Judeo-Christian background. It's difficult for even Indians, who the Buddha was their kind of son and in their culture. So, and in general, in human experience, I would say, it's just a natural assumption. But that's exactly why I say that Buddhism is. What the Buddha taught is very, very radical, and there's a bit of, we have to leap over some of our assumptions. But then, if you follow it through, as I said, you follow it through, you keep watching, and people have been doing it for 2,500 years, and Buddha just keeps coming up right.